black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm gonna die out here. No one's ever gonna know.
I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me, and this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better...
Sir?
See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to be bringing Ryan on, who had a very terrifying encounter out there in Indiana, and he'll be sharing a couple short encounters he had in Ohio, but you'll want to listen to the descriptions of what Ryan ran into, what he saw, and what he experienced. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member, get additional shows, a lot of cool things on there. There's a store there at the top. You can go in and get merchandise, all kinds of Sasquatch gear. Before we jump into the show, I want to welcome Tony Merkel on to the show. He does the Confessionals podcast, probably one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. If you get a chance, check it out on iTunes and Stitcher. Tony, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
And tell us about this week's show.
Yeah, this week we actually have a little bit of a mix of a show where we open up with some Bigfoot activity where a guy, he describes a lot of different activity that he's experienced on a certain property throughout his life. A lot of things being moved around. No real sightings up to a certain point. But then it kind of intrigued him enough to really start looking into the Bigfoot aspect of things and trying to figure out, you know, is this possible that, you know, a Bigfoot is moving all this stuff around? And he talks to his cousin in a different location in the state of Pennsylvania that has been known for Bigfoot sightings. And he brought it up one night that, you know, hey, have you ever seen a Bigfoot around here? And he said when he did that, things totally changed. The environment changed. It got real serious. And his cousin just kind of looked at him and was like, Yeah, I've seen one. And he proceeds to tell him the story of when he saw one up in northeast Pennsylvania. And it's a pretty good encounter. And then he kind of goes on and shares other experiences that he's had throughout his entire life. One thing I've been really learning throughout interviewing people and talking with people about Bigfoot and stuff, because that's kind of how I got my start and everything. People, they have experiences in life that, you know, are just all over the place. And it's not just so obscure for one person to have multiple experiences. And he kind of goes into different other things that he's had experienced throughout his life, such as seeing some UFOs to seeing entities in his bedroom. And so it's a really good and entertaining show, and I really hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, check it out. Like I said, it's one of the very few podcasts I listen to and I really enjoy, and I'm happy to promote it here on Sasquatch Chronicles. But it's called the Confessionals Podcast. You can go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and check out Tony's website. But if you're like me and you listen, however you listen to your podcast, I generally listen on my phone. And so, like, I have an iPhone, so I get all my through the podcast player that comes with my iPhone. That's how I listen. Some people listen on Stitcher, like if you have an Android. But check it out. Type in the Confessionals. And you can see the guy with his hand over his mouth. I love the logo that you have, Tony, on the show. But if you get a chance, check it out, the Confessionals Podcast. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, man.
Well, let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Ryan to the show. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
Hey, appreciate it, Wes.
No, I appreciate it. And I know you had two prior encounters with Sasquatch. The main one is the one that's the most terrifying. But before we get into that, if you would, can you talk about the two prior encounters? What did you run into and what did you see? What did you experience?
Well, the first one was, like I said, it was kind of just a hair stood up on the back of my neck. Felt like I was being watched type of deal. I was about 16 years old. A good friend of mine that I used to play baseball with, his grandpa passed away. So we had to, me, my dad, his dad and him all had to go out to West Virginia to pack up some of the belongings that were at his farm. And, he lived right in between two foothills, of a mountain. Not sure what mountain range that is. I think it's the beginning of the Appalachians. One day I was, we had got done with business there and, I just decided to go poking around on his little property there. And, behind his house, there was a big foothill. So I just decided I was going to go up that hill and check it out. Be a curious. I was probably 15, 14 at the time. So I was just going to go check out the woods and stuff like that. My buddy's dad said, why don't you take Rivers with you, which is, his grandpa's dog. I took the dog up there with me and it was a really intelligent Australian Shepherd mixed dog, I guess. So we went up the mountain. I got probably about halfway up the hill and the dog started acting really weird. Kind of whimpering and looking at me, trying to get me to go the other direction and like really kind of blocking me from going up the hill. And I started getting a feeling like I was being watched and just uneasy, really. So I just kind of turned around and went back and the dog started acting normal. And that was the first encounter. The second encounter, actually happened in a place called, in South Central Ohio. It's right around a man-made reservoir. Me and two of my other buddies that I went hunting with one time. We were actually coming back from another friend's house. We took the back roads back to, my buddy's house. All three of us were in the truck. We were just kind of talking, laughing, having a good old time. We come around this bend. Right before this bridge that goes over the reservoir, woods on both sides, and there's two guardrails. This is a two-lane county road. I wasn't looking at the road. My buddy was that was driving. He hits the brakes real hard and says, "Oh, crap." We all stop what we're doing and look at the road, and we saw it was from chest down. We all just kind of stopped, and our jaws hit the ground. We saw this thing walk, step over one guardrail, made it across both lanes of this road, and stepped over the guardrail on the other side and jumped, I'd say about 10 feet up the hill on the other side, and it made it across the road in four strides. We all just kind of sat there for a second, dumbfounded. My buddy looked at me. I looked at him. We looked at our buddy in the back. And the buddy in the back said, "I'm not going to say it." So my buddy driving said, "That was a Bigfoot." But in Ohio, they call it a grass man, I guess. So that was the second encounter.
Yeah, and I think it's important to talk about those. You know, it's a lot of times hunters and people out hiking and people who are in the woods a lot generally can tell you about strange things that happen to them. And it's not until they actually see it face to face that they realize what they've seen and what they've experienced. And prior to this, so before we get into your third encounter, what was your thought process on Sasquatch? Did you think, well, this thing's probably out there?
When I was in school, elementary school, I wasn't really new to it, I guess. I'd seen books in the library in elementary school and kind of checked them out with the pictures and stuff like that with Loch Ness Monster. And I saw the famous Patterson Gimlin film of, the Patty Monster. And, I knew about it. I didn't really think much of it though. I didn't really think it was a real thing. I just thought it was kind of a trend, like a, like UFOs, kind of. It's kind of like I'll believe it if I see it type of deal.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, no, and walking into this third encounter, and I was fascinated when you and I were talking on the phone earlier. For the audience, if you would, let's kind of start from the beginning. What were you guys out doing? And then walk the audience into what you saw, Ryan, what you experienced.
It was back in 2010. It was late October, around Halloween. Me and my buddy were hanging out with a couple of his friends. He got the bright idea, since it was around Halloween, to go ghost hunting. And I don't know if you want me to give specifics, location, or anything like that.
That's up to you. That's completely up to you.
Well, from my encounter and how scared I was, I won't, because I don't want other people to go through that. There's a, he found a place on the internet, little cemetery in a forest in South Central Indiana. And this forest had been there since the 1800s, surrounded by woods on all sides. And there's one path wide enough for a B&R vehicle to get in and out of it. One way in, one way out, unless you're going through woods. So he decides, hey, let's all go up there. Supposedly there's ghosts and paranormal activity there. And I'm along for the ride. So I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. Something to do. And we're all in our mid-20s and adrenaline junkies, as kids are like that. So we all head out there. Didn't think to bring a flashlight. Didn't think to bring anything else other than our cell phones that we had at the time. So we had to use those as light. Me and him decide that the spur of the moment thing, we were just going to get out of the car, take off hauling butt up the main trail. When we do that, I'm to his left, he's to my right, and we're just hauling ass up this main trail, like I said. And we get about a quarter way up the main trail, and I almost run into the rear end of, I don't know if it was a doe or a buck, but I know it was a deer. I almost run right into the butt end of it. And I scare the crap out of it. It scares the crap out of me. It takes off into the woods. So I'm like, whoa, hey, man, stop. There's wildlife out here. It's probably 11 o'clock at 11:30, midnight, something like that. So I'm like, hey, man, stop. Let's go back and wait for everybody else. I really wasn't thinking. So he stops, I stop. We turn around, we go back to the car. We all go up to the little cemetery up there. We're all split off, kind of doing our own thing, listening, kind of trying to spook each other a little bit. Like I said, we're using our phones as light because that's all we thought to bring. I start hearing a grunting sound coming from the back end of the cemetery off, I would say, probably maybe, I don't know, 10 yards into the woods maybe. And I'm not a professional outdoorsman, like I told you earlier. I know what a buck grunt sounds like just from what I've heard on TV and stuff like that, from what people have told me. So to me, it sounded like a buck grunting at us, telling us to, hey, you're kind of too close, get away. So I tell everybody, hey, let's back out, because these deer around this time of year, they can get pretty dangerous. And their horns are really sharp, and they'll screw you up. They'll make your good day bad real quick. So everybody's like, yeah, you're right. Let's go. We walked down the main path. We found two little footpaths on both sides of the main trail. One goes to the left, one goes to the right. So everybody wants to take these little footpaths, check them out, see what happens. So we take the one to the left first. I start in the front, because my buddy wants me to be in the front, because apparently I'm the brave country boy of the group. So I start walking down this path, and I start seeing that it goes around to the left, and it looks like it's going right back to the back of that cemetery. And it just gave me an uneasy feeling, like I didn't want to go there because of the sounds I heard at the back of the cemetery. So I tell everybody, let's go to the other trail. I don't like where this one's going. So they all turn around. We head over to the other path. I get back in front. We start heading back into the trail that goes to the right, which is, like I said, it's just a couple feet across, just a little foot trail. We get about halfway down that trail. I start hearing something paralleling us to our right side in the woods. Start hearing footfall. I'm trying to hear what it sounds like, so I can get an idea of what is down off the trail. And I know what a deer sounds like. I know what turkeys sound like just from being in the woods a little bit. I know there's hogs in Indiana. I know they're rare, but I know they're out there. And I tell everybody to stop and shush, kind of shush them down. I take another step, and it takes another step. But I notice it only takes one step. And I realize that this thing is on 2 feet. And at this point, I'm not thinking it's a Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever. At this point, I'm thinking it's Jim Bob out there trying to scare kids for Halloween that wander into the cemetery in the middle of the night. So I'm like, whatever. It starts giving me an uneasy feeling again. I'm like, I don't want to be here. So I tell everybody just to shush. We start walking again. It starts walking again. And I start feeling like I'm being preyed on. Like it's stalking, or he or she, or at this point, I'm still not thinking it's an animal. I'm thinking it's a human. So I tell everybody, we need to go. Turn around, shut up, don't run, walk back to the main trail very calmly. Everybody's like, why? I'm like, just walk, man. Just walk back to the main trail really calm. Don't run, don't walk fast, just walk really calm. I'm ready to go. So everybody starts walking back to the main trail. And I hear whatever it is that's paralleling us, start paralleling us back the other way towards the main trail. And now I'm starting to get freaked out as why this thing is basically stalking us, or this person is stalking us. We get about 10 feet from the main trail, the mouth of that little footpath to the main trail. And I kind of turn my shoulders and my head to look behind us to see if anything is coming up on that main trail. And right when my eyes hit the trail behind me, I hear everybody in front of me haul ass running down the main trail. Nobody screamed. Nobody yelled. Nobody said, like, yelled run. Nobody said anything. It's like somebody fired the gun off the starting line and everybody was running for a world record on the 100-meter dash. Just hauled ass down the main trail. When I heard that, I whipped my head around and thought I was getting ready to run into a tree. So I stopped. I took a step back and realized the tree that I was getting ready to run into was swaying back and forth. And it was just a big black mass. And I realized it's not a tree. There's something in front of me that is alive and swaying side to side. So I kind of pan up really slow. I see huge, huge chest, shoulders, and a silhouette of a head. I mean, like I said, it's pitch black in this woods. And all we were using for light is our phone, which at this point I had already put mine back in my pocket. So all I was using for light was moonlight. It wasn't a real bright moon that night. It was probably about a half moon, and it wasn't real high in the sky. So it wasn't providing enough light where I could see detail. The only thing I could see is shoulders about 5 feet across. And whatever this thing was pushing 9 feet tall, had to be. And it was swaying side to side, and it had its fist clenched. At this point, I'm still panning up, and I can make out enough of a face to realize that its expression changed as soon as we locked eyes. It went from like a curiosity, like, what are you doing here, look. As soon as we made eye contact, it changed from a curiosity look to a, you screwed up, you're going to die look. And at that point, my blood ran cold. I went into shock. My eyes hit the ground. It stopped swaying. It just started breathing heavy. I took another step back. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. I started praying. I'm not a religious person, but I started praying. Please. At this point, I realized what I was looking at, that one of these creatures was standing right in front of me. If it wanted me, it had me. I was dead to rights. And I started praying, please don't let this thing take my head off my shoulders like it's picking a cherry out of a bush or a tree. And I took another step back. And the only thing I could think to do was put my hands up really slow and show this thing that, yo, I get it. I'm out of here. I'm not armed. I'm not here to hurt you. You want me to leave? I'm gone. So I put my hands up as slowly as I could. I mean, palms up. Hey, I'm not armed. I saw its head sway from side to side like it looked at my hands. I saw it take a deep breath, and it huffed at me real hard. And this thing is, I'd say, about 4.5 to 5 feet in front of me. I was so close that when it huffed at me, I could smell its breath. And it was a real hard-to-describe smell. Kind of like a salty garbage mixed with fermented fruit. That's the only way I could put it, I guess. Like I said, yeah, it huffed at me. And I closed my eyes, clenched my eyes real hard. And every muscle in my body tensed up. I got a real strong pain in my stomach. Like, this is it. This is how you're going to go. And I mean, I started saying goodbye, like thinking of my family and my friends that are God knows where. And once it huffed at me, I said my final goodbyes in my head to everybody. And I heard my buddy that had hauled ass to the car. I heard him scream my name. And once I heard him scream my name, I kind of opened my eyes and like came back to reality. I heard whatever was the preacher in front of me turned to the side, took one big jump. I heard trees shake and sway, and then I heard a one big thump on the ground. And I realized it had gone to do whatever it was going to do. It made its point. I read it loud and clear. Now's your chance to haul ass. And that's exactly what I did. I hauled ass back to that car faster than I've ever probably run in my life. When I made it to the car, everybody was, what's that? What was it? I don't know. And then I realized I heard a dripping sound that I hadn't heard before. And I was thinking maybe the car was leaking a fluid or something like that. So I looked down and I had urinated on myself without even knowing it out of sheer terror. And we got in the car and nobody spoke a word on the way home. It was probably the most silent ride I've ever had in my life. And nobody spoke a word of it until about a week later. My buddy said he saw whatever it was too. And he thought I was gone.
Did he tell you what he saw?
He said he saw a big, tall shadow, is what he called it. He just called it a shadow. And I said, did you see hair or anything? He said, no, I just saw a shadow. I asked him if it was moving. He said I couldn't see. I guess he had already ran so far that to him, he just looked over his shoulder and it looked like a shadow. He said he didn't even see me. That's why he figured I was already gone.
Let me ask you, so your friends take off, and do you turn around and see this thing standing in the pathway, or did it cross right in front of you, blocking your path?
I talked to you earlier. It's like this thing separated me from the group. I don't know if it was already in the pathway or if it had stepped in between me and our group without me knowing it. All I know is I turn around and I almost run into it.
That's terrifying, man. That's a terrifying encounter. A lot of people, as you and I were talking earlier, Ryan, a lot of people, they want to see these things. And I get it. I completely get it. But the moment you actually see one, you regret ever seeing one. You almost wish you would have never seen one. And a lot of times encounters really aren't happy encounters. I find it interesting that when it was in front of you, as you and I were talking earlier, when they, you'll see a lot of great apes, gorillas, and you'll see chimpanzees do the same thing where they'll rock from side to side. And I think that is them being nervous, almost like they, and this is just my theory, but almost like they're nervous. They're not sure what you're going to do. And that's a nervous reaction they have. It's an emotional reaction of what are you going to do? And it's not, and it's intimidating when you see something that big rock from side to side, because, you know, you think, God, is this thing going to charge me? But I think that is really a nervous reaction.
Yeah, it was almost like a, what am I going to do with you now? Kind of a reaction. Like, do I let you go or do I just take you down?
Yeah.
And like I said, we were talking earlier, if I don't know something, like I said, I had seen one before in Ohio. It wasn't that close. This encounter really got me. I mean, it got me scared. When something's in front of you like that, you realize you're not the apex predator. There's something bigger and badder than you on the planet. And like I said earlier, when we were talking, I'm the kind of guy, if something intrigues me or I don't know a lot about it or it confuses me, I'm going to research the hell out of it. Everything in that encounter pointed to, from me and him running up the main path and me kicking a deer into the woods, whatever was off the main path stalking us, and the one standing in front of me swaying side to side, basically being pissed off to no end. All of it points to me and him and our group. We broke up them hunting a group of deer that we scared away, and it pissed them off.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you interrupted the hunt. I wanted to ask you, was there any details that you could give the audience? I realize this is nighttime, but is there any details that you can give beyond what you've given regarding the creature and what you saw? Anything that stood out to you?
As far as facial features go, I saw, like I said, there wasn't a lot of light. So, I mean, I couldn't make out a lot of facial features. I could definitely make out the change in expressions. This thing definitely went from confusion and curiosity to mad real quick. I saw high cheekbones. I saw no nose. The eyes were just black as night abyss. I mean, it was like two holes going through its head. The hair, I want to say it was about 3 inches long all over its body. Maybe a little bit longer. I saw its fists were clenched. I mean, this, like I said earlier, this thing was rock and roll. It was ready to go. And just muscle mass. This thing was huge. It was a truck in front of me. And it, like I said, it was close enough that if it wanted me, it had me.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that terrifies you the most. When you encounter these things, you realize really quick that you're at their mercy. There's really nothing. I mean, if they want you, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And I really think that's beyond the size and beyond everything else, the unknown, the fact that that feeling of like, wow, there's nothing I can do in this situation. I'm a goner if this thing comes at me. There's nothing I can do to stop it. And it's interesting. It reminded me of an encounter you and I were talking about in Alaska, I believe, where this 12-year-old boy was out hunting with his 22 rifle. It was a 22 he was carrying around, and he come across three of them. And he did the same thing, man. He made eye contact with it. It started growling, and these three creatures surrounded this kid. And if you hear this kid's testimony, this kid saw something, because he's almost in tears as he's telling it. And he's talking about he started crying. He put his head down, started crying, and they huffed at him and then walked off. And I was always shocked by that.
That's what you said. It gave me chills when you said it huffed at him too. It's like a show of dominance.
Yeah, I think it is. I think sometimes the grunts are more or less an acknowledgement that you're there. But this kid said it huffed at him, and then they just walked off. And I was always shocked that they didn't kill this kid. But the part that I think is interesting is he even talked about the smell. And he said it was a real wild smell when it huffed at him. He could smell it. The creature itself didn't smell. But when it huffed at it, he said it was a real wild smell. He couldn't really place. It wasn't like bad breath. It was just a real wild, gamey type smell coming out of this thing's mouth. How has this affected you, running into this thing?
Oh, it's life-changing, man. I mean, this happened in 2010. I still have nightmares to this day about it. I don't know if it's PTSD, if that's what you want to call it. I'm not one of those guys that I think that's a soldier's thing, going through war, stuff like that. I know that changes people. I have really good buddies that are in the military, and I've helped them through PTSD. Yeah, it still gives me nightmares to this day.
I would imagine. And why do you think the creature didn't harm you? I mean, you guys are kind of in a Mexican standoff. Who's going to make the wrong move first? And it sounds like no one made the wrong move, but why do you think the creature didn't attack you?
I think it got its point across and it knew that. I think had I made one wrong move, had I maintained eye contact or took off running the other way, I mean, who knows? I could have took it off running the other way and ran into the other one, and they could have just pounced on me and ripped me limb from limb. I think I made all the right decisions. I remember my dad telling me when I was a kid, if you run into a wild dog or a predator, if you make eye contact, that's a challenge for territory. If you take off running, that's going to trigger their predator instinct, and they're going to chase you. That's why I made eye contact. I saw its expression. I knew what it was thinking. It was thinking, you're dinner, or you're another male. I'm going to challenge you. And yo, I'm looking at the ground. I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, the eye contact thing is even more so in the primate world. You know, whether it be human or non-human, it's even more so in the primate world. You know, you make eye contact with a gorilla or with a chimpanzee or, you know, other primates, and they look at that as a challenge. You're challenging them. And even some humans.
Yeah.
I mean, walk into a bar and look a guy in the eyes who's been drinking. All of a sudden, he thinks you want to fight, and you really have no intention of fighting.
Exactly.
You just looked in his direction, you know?
Right.
Think it's the same with these things.
I didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I wanted to curl up in a ball. I mean, you feel... It's a feeling of helplessness and just utter doom that you'll never feel in your life.
Well, it makes you think, too. They think like predators. I mean, you don't take on a whole group if you're a predator. You just don't. Exactly. But if one falls behind, that's the guy you pick off. That's the easy target.
Yeah, that's another thing. I don't know if maybe this thing was watching us the whole time. Maybe it saw me shush the other people up. Maybe it heard me communicate and we all turned around and went the other way. Maybe it picked me to be the alpha of our group and said, that's the one I'm going to challenge. Everybody else, that's the weird thing. Its attention was solely on me. It didn't even turn to look at everybody else until my buddy screamed my name. It had no idea that they were even there. I was its main focus. It was like alpha on alpha. And like you said, he wanted to rock and roll, and I wasn't having it. You win, buddy.
Yeah, well, I think you made all the right moves in that situation with this thing. Like I said, I think if you freak out or if you run, you're in trouble. In situations like this, or if you continue with eye contact, there's a medicine woman I know down in Arizona. And she always tells me, if you ever have another encounter, Wes, or you need to tell people, don't make eye contact with these things. And I'm always like, yeah. But, you know, you hear encounters like yours, and the whole demeanor changes when you make eye contact. And I've heard other people state that. Have you ever thought about going back to that area?
Absolutely not. The good friend I was with at the time, he's asked me many times to go back, even in the daytime. And I tell him he can't pay me enough to go back there. The only way I would go back there is if I was with a whole platoon of Marines and we had tanks and bazookas and guns and landmines and all kinds of armament, man, because I don't know what kind of gun would take this thing down. I don't want to find out, though.
Yeah, and it's hard to explain to someone how physically imposing it is to stand in front of something that's 8, 9, 10 feet tall and, you know, weighs anywhere between 5 and 1,000 pounds. It's hard to express how intimidating that is. And you're right. You know, when you walked out, you're probably looking at its stomach and you're describing looking up and up and up and up. And that's not far off, man, when you run into these things.
It seemed like it never ended.
Yeah.
It seemed like it never ended. Like this thing went up to the top of the trees and it took me a minute to realize this is what everybody's been talking about. You know, this is the thing that you saw in the books in elementary school. This is what you're looking at, something that's not supposed to exist. And it's looking at you like you're dinner. Now, what are you going to do? So many emotions go through you at one time. It's confusion. It's terror. It's a feeling of hopelessness. It's a flight or fight. But there is no fight. When you see something that big, you just want to run.
Yeah.
And I'm looking back on it, I'm kind of glad I didn't know if the other one that was parallel us on the trail was behind us or not. Like I said, I could have turned around to run and ran right into that one, and it could have just took my head right off. And that would have been the end right there.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing encounter, and I'm glad you came out okay. You know, it's a cautionary tale, too, for people out there. You know, these things are real. They are out there. You can run into them. And
it's not what you see in books and on TV. That's all fun and games. But if you're actually out there, pay attention, okay? It's not a game. It's not a TV show. These things are real, and they are big, and they are mean, and they are wild.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why I always say, you know, I know people give me crap about it, but I always say you're not going to go out there with the apple in your hand, and it's not going to walk up and eat an apple out of your hand. You're not going to pet it on the head. These things, they can be very violent. They can be very, very violent, very territorial, and they have short tempers. You know, there was no sense in for it to come out and cut you off and stand there and give you the stink eye. If you would have just kept going and it would have never slipped out, you probably would have never seen it.
And that's what, yeah, you said a hair trigger temper. This thing's, its expression went from confusion to pissed as hell in less than a second. As soon as I made eye contact with it, it was ready to rumble. And I mean, if I probably wouldn't have made eye contact with it, who knows, it might have just stepped out in front of me and just went on its way. But I think I made eye contact with it. That's why it just stayed there.
Yeah, and the other part you bring up is when you said you thought it was a tree. And that should give the audience some sort of gauge on how big this thing is if you think it's a tree standing in front of you. I wanted to ask you, did the creature smell at all beyond the breath?
I didn't get a smell. I've heard stories where people smell this awful smell like a skunk mixed with wet dog. The way I describe it, it smelled like where it came from. It was just a real musky dirt smell. Like it was just dirty. Like it smelled like the woods, obviously. I think that's a case of either they put off some kind of a pheromone when they get nervous or scared. I don't know what would scare one of these things, honestly. But either that or it's just where they come from. If they spend a lot of time in water and mud and muck and stuff like that, I think they're obviously going to stink. If they come from more of a dry environment, I don't think they're going to smell that bad, you know?
No, I understand. And, you know, the thing with that creature, too, if you would have ran into a grizzly bear, for instance, grizzly bear, it's on or off. It's either going to kill you or it's not going to kill you. There's really no in between. And that's how most wild animals are. It's on or off. They're either going to run or they're going to stand up and fight you. And if they come into the, you know, if that would have been a cougar or that would have been a black bear or that would have been any other known animal and it would have cut you off the way it cut you off, you'd be a dead man. They're going to fight you.
Exactly.
And what always fascinates me about these creatures is the intelligence. Almost like why cut you off, stand there, make you terrified, and then your buddy starts yelling your name from the car and it turns and kind of looks that way and then it bolts off. What's the point in doing that? Almost like it was trying to intimidate you or it was pissed off and wanted to let you know how pissed off it was.
Exactly. That's the only thing I could come up with. I think it wanted to make its point that it was their dinner time. I mean, think about how pissed you would get if somebody just bolted into your house when your family was around the table eating dinner, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody just bolted into the door and was like, "Hey, you guys, what's up?" And all the food fell on the floor. You'd be mad. I would be too. And I would probably try to scare the crap out of whoever bolted in my front door and knocked all my food off the table. It was either the deer or me. And I think I made all the right moves, like you said. And I think they just went on with their hunt, maybe.
Did you ever talk to your buddy? You know, he said he saw more of a shadow of something large, but have you ever sat down with them and say, "Hey, listen, here's what I saw"?
Yeah. About a week ago, I had my latest nightmare where I woke up in a hot sweat. I was flailing, kicking for my life. My wife actually woke me up. And that's when I told her for the first time. She was blown away. My buddy came over that weekend and I had actually drawn a picture for my wife because she was like, "How big was it? How big was it?" She kept asking me, "How big was it?" I can't put it into words how big it was. It was, like you said, I thought I was getting ready to run into a tree. That's how big it was. She said, "Well, draw me a picture." So I kind of rough sketched on our dry erase board what I saw, and she basically was holy crap. And then my buddy came over that weekend and saw the picture, and he was like, "If that's what you saw," he said, "all I saw is a shadow," but he said that's about how tall the shadow was above you. So
no, I understand. Well, Ryan, thank you again for coming on the show and sharing the encounter. I think when people hear people share their encounters, you know, it sounds easy to do, and it's not. You tend to relive it as you're retelling your encounter, and there's a lot of emotions that take place. And so it's not an easy thing to do, but I really do appreciate you coming on the show and sharing what happened to you.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. You're actually the first person I've told outside of my wife, and my buddy was obviously there, so.
Well, I'm honored that you would come on the show and share it. Thank you again, Ryan.
I appreciate it, Russ.
Well, next up, I want to welcome Shane to the show. Shane, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Thanks so much for being on the show. You had a very interesting encounter. If you would, for the audience, maybe start from the beginning. Tell us what you were out doing and walk us into what happened.
We were just down in my buddy's grandparents' property down in southern Ohio outside of Rome just for the weekend. I think it was a long weekend just going to get away from everything, camping and all that good stuff. And let's see, the night before, this property is really beautiful, right off the river and very secluded. I think the next neighbor was a good mile down the road, at least till the next mailbox anyways. The lady that used to live there, I guess the original owner or something, was taking rocks off the mountain and she wanted to build her quote unquote castle. And it was beautiful. She had these huge rock walls and all kinds of stuff she built up there. She had a little shack that was left over, decrepit, like one room was left standing in her fireplace. So we decided, I think the first night we were there, and we've been there before and everything, and never thought much of it, but the show Ghost Hunters, I think, and all that was becoming popular. So we wanted to go in there late at night and get some pictures of some orbs or something, whatever, just stupid kid stuff. We were in our early 20s, I think, and didn't really see much and whatever. We had a good night, had a fire and everything, went to bed. Next day, we got up, went to his grandparents' house, visited and everything, did all that, went and walked to the river, and went back later that evening, decided to hike up what we call a mountain to us. We're from the western Ohio. There's not really much. It's kind of rolling small hills. So to us, it's a mountain, but probably to most everybody, it's a big hill, huge hill.
Yeah.
So we decided to start walking up it, hiking up. And it's steep enough to where every once in a while we'd be grabbing on the trees to help pull ourselves up. And a beautiful, like, foresty area, clear, you know, not too much brush or nothing. You can see pretty good ways. We get up pretty far up there. I'm going to say probably 3/4 of the way. It's probably a half-hour hike up this mountain. And we've come to this rocky outcrop and everything, and we figure this is where the old lady and people that lived there were getting their rocks from. So just going on with the myth, maybe this place is haunted, I dared my buddy to carve his name into the rock face and just whatever, you know. So I give him a knife. He starts carving away. He gets halfway through his name, and we just hear this ungodly, banshee, awful cry, scream. I don't know what you want to call it, but coming from... or like our campsite down there where her little shack was and stuff. I mean, it just, we stopped what we were doing. We looked at each other, our jaws dropped and our hearts stopped. And we just seemed like time stopped and we didn't know what just happened or what we just heard. And it was loud. Oh my gosh.
I wanted to ask you, did it sound, I know when you and I talked earlier, you'd mentioned the Ohio howl. Was it like that or was it different from that?
It was different. I mean, I'm not going to say it was a Sasquatch or whatever, but if it was, I could see it being the same creature that made the sound, but it was not like the Ohio hound or the Ohio howl. It was more of a really mad scream. And it even had like a pronunciation to it, which was like, we were thinking, okay, first thoughts we've all said, I think at the same exact time, we said banshee, like, oh my gosh, banshee is what our first initial thoughts were. And we started talking for just a second, you know, okay, there can't be, no, someone's got to be down there, just trying to think logical. So there's got to be a person down there screaming as loud as they can. But at the time, we didn't really think much about it. It was so loud, it like shook your insides, kind of. I mean, it was loud. No human that I know could ever make this kind of volume come out of them. But so we decided to book it down, and we didn't get very far. I don't even know, not very far at all. And a pack of coyotes started going crazy off to our right, which would have been west, and they were just going insane. And we just like, oh my gosh, not this too, now what is going on? So we started really booking it, and it's pretty steep, so we couldn't go too fast without doing rolls down the hill. And it takes us, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes to finally get all the way down to the bottom. And the whole time we're hearing this pack of coyotes, like every couple minutes, maybe they would stop just for a minute, you know, screaming and crying, doing whatever they do. And that would give us enough time. We could hear just like rustling on our other side of us. So at this point, I'm like seeing tunnel vision, almost like, let's get out of here.
When you say rustling, was it going on the whole time you guys were running down the mountain? Was it saying... off to the side, where, following you down? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, I think it was like way down at the bottom when we heard it. So if anything, it was starting to come up, I think. And it wasn't constant. It was like every once in a while we'd hear a slight rustle in the leaves or a stick break. That's about, and it was not like a constant, you know, nothing, no noise that we weren't really too concerned about at the time, because we got a pack of coyotes behind us and a freaking banshee or you know, at this point we're still thinking someone's down there, let's go. We finally get down the bottom. There's nobody there. No one has been there. And we jump in his car. It was my me and my friend and his wife were all there. Jump in his car. We race to his grandparents' house. We're like, was anybody out there? Come on. Okay, you guys, was there anybody out there? Somebody was out there screaming at us. And they're like, no, no, no. No one's been out there. You're crazy. The road's not very traveled. You can hear cars go up and down it. I mean, very occasionally, a couple times a day, cars go up and down this road. We end up going back. I think we grab some hot dogs or something from them. We go back pretty quick. And, like, we saw just a little bit of daylight, and we start a fire. And we didn't really hear much the rest of that night.
Let me ask you, at what point did you realize, okay, that's probably a Sasquatch I heard? Was there a time where you thought that, or did you start looking up animal sounds?
No, it probably wasn't until about last year. We were watching TV, and I can't remember what show it was, but I'll be god darn if we didn't hear the same exact sound on a Finding Bigfoot or Bigfoot Evidence show or whatever it was. And that's when we finally put two and two together, and we just, me and my buddy were both watching it. We just stopped last year and we were staring at each other like, oh, that's exactly what we heard. So many years later, the whole time we hardly ever talked about it or anything. We just chalked it up to a banshee. You know, well, I don't know what it was. We didn't have any explanation for it.
That's interesting. And I wanted you to tell the story. Was it your grandfather? It reminded me so much of the old woman in Texas I talk about all the time.
Yeah, it was my grandpa. Yeah. He lives in a trailer down in Tennessee and kind of out of town, and lives on the edge of a small trailer park and everything. Yeah. And he had, I guess, real late at night, like almost early morning after midnight, had someone tapping on his window and loud enough to get him up and get him mad and everything. And then he storms out to the door and with his gun, grabs his gun and starts hollering and shaking his gun out. I don't even know what he was saying. And he says he just seen this huge black guy kind of run off as soon as he started hollering and, you know, turn on the lights and everything. And, so he was all in black and had the probably like a hood up, you know, or something. And my daddy said this only, he only told him about it once, but he thinks it's happened to him a couple times, maybe just how my grandpa was acting about it. So, like, it wasn't an unusual thing for him.
So. Yeah. And that's interesting, 'cause that lady down in Texas is the same thing. She says that it's three black guys and they're in hoodies and they're big, huge black eyes. And it always cracks me up because I'm like, what would be the motivation between, why would these three African Americans have the need to throw rocks at your home? Why would they sit up and tap the windows at night on your windows? It makes no sense at all. What would be their motivation in doing that? And it always interests me because the more she talks about it, the more you start to realize what this woman's actually seeing. It's definitely not human, what she's seeing. It's I think it's a group of Sasquatches messing with her. And I'm curious about your grandfather, too. You know, you go start tapping on someone's window trailer at night and screwing around with them or someone's home. Your chances of getting shot are pretty high. And, you know, there'd be no – I just don't, you know, understand that. But I guess if you don't believe in Bigfoot or Sasquatch – it would make sense. You would think, well, it's just a huge African-American guy with a hood on. And the hood's interesting, too, because I've had a lot of witnesses on the show that that say it had kind of a conical head. And I would imagine under dark conditions, you see that, you would think, oh, that guy's wearing a hood. And that's not really a hood. That's just the way the head is shaped.
Yeah, and I wasn't even going to bring that up to you until I heard you talking about it. You know, and then my dad brought it up to me a couple weeks ago, too. So this was just a few weeks ago, I think, that happened. So,
yeah.
For the last time that he told us about it anyways. So.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, Shane, and sharing the vocalization. I always find it interesting, you know, and you mentioned it shaking you. You know, when a cougar screams at you or a bear or any of these known animals, you know, whether it be Ohio, Washington State, Texas, you can pretty much guess what animal's coming at you, whether it be a fox or you know, that foxes make strange sounds, but coyotes even make strange sounds. But mm-hmm. The difference is they don't rattle you. They don't shake you when they, you know, I've heard some strange cougar sounds, and I can honestly say it's never once shook me. And then when these things go off, like the banshee, you know, I use the term all the time and I get questioned on it all the time. I'll say it sounded very demonic, but I guess another term would be that, you know, very banshee sounding. It's hard to place that. It's hard to place the vocalization that you're hearing. And so I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it, man.
Yeah, no problem at all. And like I think I even said in the email and stuff, they've had like problems out there in the past on that property, and it was mostly they thought it was a homeless guy breaking in. They have a little tiny cabin there on the property too, and it's only good for the toilet that's in it. But they had a problem where they thought it was a homeless guy breaking in and kind of trashing the place and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if it's not the same thing that made that sound to us. Because it's out in the middle of nowhere. I don't see reason why a homeless guy couldn't live. He couldn't live out there, I don't think, you know, unless he's growing his own crops and hunting or something. But
did they ever say what kind of damage was done?
The door busted in. I seen a door. It's a pretty heavy outside door. But just trashed, I guess. I mean, it was a not finished cabin. And like, I don't know, it seemed like I think drywall ripped off the walls, and I think there was a couch that was shredded or something. That could have been from other animals, like, I don't know. But I don't really know. They didn't say too much about what kind of damage, but.
Do you ever go back to that property?
They've since sold it, and so we've been back there. I think I have personally twice after that, and nothing's ever happened. But yeah, I'd love to go back. But they've since sold it, I've heard, and somebody built a new house on it, I guess, from what I understand.
Oh, I get you. So, well, I appreciate it. Go ahead, man.
I just thought it was pretty interesting after the fact when we found out that sound, whatever we heard on TV was the same thing we heard, whether it be Sasquatch or I don't know. It wasn't a known animal that I've ever heard, and I grew up outside. So, but then they tell us that they've had problems with a homeless guy out there, and it actually burned down the cabin, I guess, apparently, because that was a year or two after last time we were there. So,
yeah, these things are out there. They're definitely real, and they're out there, and you can run into them. And usually it's when you're not prepared, when you're not looking for them. I always find that amazing. It's when you're not looking for them is when you run into them. It's like I had Doug Hychek on last week, and we were talking about the Snellgrove incident. Well, you know, he's been out to Snellgrove several times, and the times he's out there not looking for Sasquatch is the times he runs into them when he's not expecting it. And when he's going out there specifically to look for them, he never finds them. It's fascinating, man. It's fascinating. And like you said, you can run into them. Who knows why it was screaming at you? These things, like I said, seem to have very short tempers. But, you know, who knows why it was going off on you? I'm glad you're able to find some answers. Because when you hear stuff like that, you know, you go look up cougar sounds. Okay, it's not that. It's not a fox. It's not a bear. It's not this. It's not that. And it's amazing when you hear a Bigfoot show. You're like, holy crap, that's what I heard. And there's that light bulb that goes off.
Yeah, what really told us was an animal. We didn't even think twice ever about it being an animal because of the pronunciation. It I can't really recreate the sound. My buddy can. He's just weird like that. But it like had like a hard C at the beginning, like a kind of, it like pronunciated something as it was screaming, which was right there, just out of our mind. It's not an animal. No way, it's an animal. So
yeah, it's interesting. But it didn't actually make a word, but it was sound like it was pronouncing something.
Yeah, right. I mean, not a word that we could understand anyways. But
yeah, they make weird sounds. I know one time I was out and I could have sworn I heard Yahoo. I don't know if it was everyone in the group heard it, and I kind of verified everyone. Did you guys hear Yahoo? I thought I just heard something scream Yahoo, but it didn't sound human. But I wouldn't say it was an animal either. But it had this weird, I mean, it just pronounced Yahoo. It sounded like it screamed Yahoo, which I thought was odd. And so sometimes you do hear that, you know, when you hear the Ron Moorhead recordings too, a lot of times you think you pick up on words. I don't know if it's our brain playing tricks on us. You know, sometimes when you listen to different languages, you think, oh, I think I know what they're talking about, but it's not. But in your case, hearing that, you know, animals generally don't pronounce syllables or words or, you know.
Exactly. I mean, there was even some vowels thrown in there. Exactly.
Well, I appreciate it again, Shane. Thank you again for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful time.
Thanks, Shane. And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. And also check out the Confessionals podcast. If you're a podcast listener, I think you guys will like it. Until next time, everyone, have a great night. Of you, dear.